Good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourselves around the world. Welcome to Developpod and our second episode in the series on the future of teacher development in English language teaching. Today we have two teacher trainers and teacher developers, Danny Norrington Davis and Richard Chin, and they're going to be talking about their thoughts on the future of teacher development and their new book, which is just out, Working with Emergent Language by Pavilion ELT. Over to Danny and Richard. So welcome to the virtual studio to Richard Chin and Danny Norrington Davis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Lovely to be here.
Yeah, hi, Christian.
Hi, Bo. Hi. So perhaps we can kick off with just a little bit about your background and your particular interest within English language teacher development. Maybe Richard?
Sure. Okay. So I've been teaching for the best part of 20 years now. And a large proportion of that I've been working in teacher education, specifically teacher training on things like CELTA courses. I've been a Delta trainer for quite some time now as well. And I've got the opportunity to travel around a lot with it and to work with loads of really interesting teachers in different places with different challenges. And I think, you know, and having had the privilege of watching a lot of teaching, it really does start to make you understand teaching at a deeper level, I think. And I got very interested in classroom interaction, especially, and what's happening between teachers and learners and learners and learners. And I think that's the thing that I'm most fascinated in what we do. What are the classroom dynamics and what happens between the participants in class? And through that, you know, what we can learn from that, gathering data about our own teaching, is something that really fascinates me. And, you know, within that, I think that's where I got really interested in emergent language and how we improvise and respond to things that we haven't planned in class. So that's kind of what I'm into. That's my area, really. So kind of reflecting on what we do in class and looking at how we interact.
Thank you, Richard. And Danny, perhaps tell us a little bit about your background. I know you're also interested in emergent language. Within that, perhaps you could explain to the listeners the concept of emergent language.
Yes, so same as Richard, really. I've been teaching for 27 years. Teacher training is mainly CELTAs and DELTAs, MA courses when I worked at King's College London, and lots of courses with teachers overseas. Yeah, big interest in emergent language. The way we have defined it in our book is that it's unplanned language produced by students during interactive communicative activities. The teacher then works within some way, reformulating, modifying, helping the learner say what they want to say at the moment of need. So it includes error, includes language that students want to use, other ways of saying the same thing. Interestingly, the other day we found a little booklet these trainees had made on a course me and Richard done, and number one was work more with emergent language, and it was 2012. It's like, oh my God, we've been doing this for 11 years. And yeah, classroom interaction, emergent language. But as Richard said, helping teachers kind of get data on their own teaching, find out what they're doing in the classroom and working, you know, with themselves or with colleagues to address the things that they're doing.
Super. Okay. And whilst we're on the subject, perhaps you could tell us about your forthcoming book. I believe it's just been published today, in fact.
It has indeed. Dad's got his copies, but mine are still with the postman, who kind of did knock and run on me earlier on, basically.
Yes, yeah. I can pointlessly hold it up to you, Christian. There it is. I got that 4 or 5 hours ago, actually, so it's cold off the press.
So it's working with emergent language. Anything else you'd like to say about that?
Well, it has a huge teacher development strand, really. So we talk, obviously, about what is emergent language and why we should work with emergent language and different techniques teachers can use to work with emergent language. In terms of teacher development, there's a whole strand of the book that trains teachers from novice teachers to experienced teachers how to work with emergent language, how to find out how your students want you to work with emergent language. Richard, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I mean, so the way we've organized it, as Danny says, the first bits are kind of, you know, what is it? And then the second part, quite a number of activities that you can use to engage with dialogue with colleagues to talk about what happens in your class, reflecting on critical incidents. And what we've done for each of the tasks is to get teachers to try a task out And then we interviewed them afterwards or got them to reflect on the process afterwards. And we've written a commentary of what the teachers found. So you can try out an activity and then you can read and compare it with the process of another teacher who tried that particular self-development tool out. So it's really, try and encourage teachers to get into the practice of gathering data from the classroom. And it can be the very small little bits of data. It could be recording a snippet of feedback and then, listening back to it and thinking about how you've responded in class. So it's really kind of, trying to provide teachers with a way of examining the choices that they make in class and then getting them to think beyond the choices that they have made and what they could make in the future as well.
And we then have a final strand in the book where we interviewed teachers who teach in different contexts, for example, ESOL, exam classes, younger learners, challenging circumstances. How do they work with emergent language in these different settings? So we hope it's a book kind of for everybody. That often sounds like it's a marketing comment, but we really did want to have a book that, everyone could look at in some way.
One of the reasons why we wrote it as well is because there isn't much out there on it. There's the fantastic, Dogma book, which has got great ideas in it. But what we realized is that when we were working with teachers, we were often talking about these moments in class where these unplanned moments in class, and we were giving advice, and we obviously talked together about it, but we realized that it's probably a good idea to put all of these pieces of advice into a book so that teachers can refer to it. So that was the kind of, the thrust behind it. But also as trainers, a lot of trainers say, I don't have a session on emergent language. And so what we thought is in all of these activities, the trainer can use them in a training room. And in fact, some of them evolved out of my MA dissertation work, which I did create a session for training Delta candidates to work with emergent language.
So all very exciting. And in fact, as I mentioned to you prior to this interview, Gabor Maggioli has also referenced your book and the fact that it's one of the emergent areas in teacher development, if you like, emergent language. So what would you say teachers need to do to adapt, develop, to understand and deal with emergent language in the classroom?
I think you've got to start off really learning to listen to your students, because you're not going to be able to work with what emerges from students if you're not genuinely trying to hear what they're saying. And so you've then also got to create space in your lessons for emergent language. So what we talk about on training courses and in the book is how you create space. So how you might exploit a lead-in so that students are genuinely talking about a topic, how you might exploit a text so students are responding to the text rather than just answering comprehension questions, and how you really get them communicating about topics. And then just teaching teachers to tune in first. What are students saying? What's interesting? What did I hear that's interesting? What did I hear that would be worth sharing? I think only then can you start to pick out the language. But also we want to train teachers to notice. I can't remember who said this to me. It was a nice quote, but I can never remember who actually said it. It said, look for the frowny faces. As you look around the class, when students are frowning, when they don't know what they want to say or another student doesn't understand them, these are the moments to jump in. So, we start off by creating space and looking and listening firstly, and then developing the techniques. I don't know if you want to add to that, Rich.
No, I think you've covered all the key points with that. But as you say, tuning in to start with, and then you can begin experimenting with how you reformulate learner language, whether it's just simply a conversational recast where you keep the conversation going but you provide an error correction, or whether you explicitly put something up on the board, moving beyond single words and looking at chunks. What do you do with the language when it's emerged? Because that was a big problem for me, I think, when I started working with it a long time ago now, was all of this language is up on the board. What do we do with it? So we address this in the book as well. If where does the emergent language spring forward to? What can students do in order to record language? How can we develop learner autonomy while working with emergent language as well? And I think these are all areas that teachers can explore, and that they're valid concerns that teachers have had that we've come across in the past. It's difficult to work with emergent language. It's a bit scary. It's difficult to deal with it in the moment. What other concerns have we had, Danny? What do I do with it on the board? How do I organize my board? When you watch one of those lessons and it's like, spiders crawled across the board carrying a board pen. It's kind of, think how we systematically organize the board in order to provide a record for learners as well. So I think there's lots of these areas that teachers can develop. And, not only the physical board in the classroom, but how do we record emergent language in a lesson online? So we've experimented with these ways as well.
I think there's an element of demystifying things too. As I track the feedback I give teachers on the observations that you do on a CELTA, I notice now that I often write down, when I write some good work with emergent language, I will write down the emergent language they worked with. So new teachers, for example, on a CELTA, can see that probably in every lesson there are two or three moments when they, just slightly modify a learner's pronunciation, or they give them the word they want rather than the word they're trying to use. So I kind of record the interaction in my feedback rather than telling them how they could be interacting, if that makes sense.
I
I've been
think that's
using.
really important, Danny, to put that down there so they can see it. Because what we've heard before from teachers is that, they don't see emergent language as something important in the lesson. They see it as a throwaway or an aside. But actually, I think what Danny's talking about by showing them how useful that piece of interaction was can really, show the teacher that this is something that, you should include in lessons. It's part of the language learning process. All teachers to some degree deal with emergent language. Yeah. So I think it's just making them aware of what they're doing in class and allowing that space for it.
I must say, I've seen lots of teachers and teacher train as well, wide, as you both have. And I've seen very, very few talking about emergent language. And it's really refreshing, great to see. I think you'd probably agree with me. My synopsis is that teachers in the beginning find it very difficult to deal with error correction. And when they do, they've got that, and they find that it's difficult to deal with anything else but error correction. And even quite experienced teachers deal with error correction and try and balance it with a few things that the student said well. However, that's not necessarily emergent language. And I think the difficulty for most teachers and even experienced teachers is the things that they wanted to say but couldn't say. So it's looking within our own repertoire of language and looking for those frown moments, as you say, and actually thinking laterally, what was it they wanted to say and how could I have said it as a more proficient speaker?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And in fact, we have a task that is exactly that. It's the simple one that I'm sure you probably, lots of people use, but it's recording verbatim, what did the learner say in two columns? One column, what did the learner say? And in the next column, thinking about what did the learner want to say? What would I say?
Yeah.
Yeah. As a more expert user of the language. And actually, I found on my master's dissertation work that the teachers that I interviewed found that quite a useful tool in training them to think about how to respond to what the learners had said. And as you say, it's a very simple thing, isn't it, really? But it's just reminding yourself, okay, that's what I'm doing.
It's reminding yourself you are that resource in the classroom.
And it's as simple as saying, what would I say, rather than what is the correct way
Yes.
of saying this. It's making it more about just helping a learner communicate what they want to say.
And of course, that will vary depending on the context that you're in as well. So it's not prescriptive in terms of one variety of English. It could be whatever's appropriate to a specific context. Would you agree, Danny, with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what do you think a teacher's priorities should be within the field of emergent language or more widely the next few years, maybe over the next decade or so?
This is a really interesting one. I did a talk recently where it's the first time I actually included this as part of the talk. Me and Rich talked a lot about how we're going to answer that question in the book and what we did and we think is the right thing to do. We came up with a list of priorities, and we're just suggesting that teachers within their context get together to decide what they think the priorities are. So for us working in London, where we're dealing with adult learners who are living or working in the UK, it's really about prioritizing. We found miscommunication, moments of miscommunication. A teacher in another context might have a completely different viewpoint. They might go for something that is more likely to come up in the exam, or something they think, well, I've taught that recently, so maybe I can come back to it now. I think the priorities will shift according to the context. So we suggest that teachers get together and brainstorm priorities. And so we've started doing that in talks now. And it's interesting that teachers working in similar institutions, they tend to have the same ideas of what to prioritize.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we went down the emergent language route. Where I worked before at Brass House in Birmingham, I worked with Nick Bilbra. I remember him talking about, I remember seeing Luke Meddings talk about it. And then coming to IH London, it was a common thing to be talked about. And I think because in IH London, with the students that come to study in London, there's a real focus on communication and making meaning. So therefore, emergent language comes hand in hand with that. So I think that's kind of, where we've been at in our context. And, there's a general feeling that people are interested in that as well.
Super. And what other themes do you currently see in teacher development?
One of the things we were talking about before this was the way that learners' languages are viewed, I think is one of the themes. Richard, you had more to say about that.
Yeah, I think kind of like, the kind of multilingual turn in the way that we're looking at language learning and language development. I think that's certainly a big change that I've felt, and I think that's going to change even more in the future. I think even the CELTA criteria has changed, or the syllabus has changed in order to encompass that as well. So I think there's been a big shift, and that will definitely move in that direction. I think, our views on how languages are learned are changing a lot. Certainly mine have, and discovering, ideas such as translanguaging, where you don't have to have everything in English in the lesson. Actually, it's quite helpful if there's a mixing of language, and this is very, very much in keeping with it, with an emergent view of how languages are learned as well. What do you think, Danny? Anything else to add to that?
I think that also kind of course content. I think if I think back probably more than 10 years ago, you'd look at a course and teacher knowledge would be how to teach the four skills, how to teach language, and developing, your own language awareness. Now you might look at a teacher development syllabus and you're looking at ways of making materials more inclusive, ways of dealing with neurodiverse students, neurodiverse teachers, global citizenship. There's, learner agency, teacher agency. Giving teachers voices, there's a lot more outside the knowledge base of teachers. Well, this massive expanded knowledge base of teachers, even linguistically, looking much more at pragmatics and social interaction and, well, critical discourse. There's a lot of new things happening on courses. And I don't know if you're part of the Facebook group of CELTA Delta trainers. You'll see
Definitely.
someone almost monthly posting, "I want to do a session on this. Has anyone got any ideas?" And I'm thinking, I haven't got that on my CELTA.
There's almost too many ideas to be included on a very short CELTA course these days,
I
but
think so, yes.
we're talking teacher development beyond a CELTA.
There's a lot at the end of both of our CELTAs where we're working on how teachers can track their development, how they can recognize a puzzle or notice an area of interest in their teaching or a specific learner need, and how they develop their own skills in that area. Because I guess probably they just want to write to us and say, "What do I do?" But we need to say, "Well, here are some tools, here are some sites," and help them be quite autonomous when they leave. Because I think that's difficult.
I think a big shift, if we're talking about CELTA, for example, is, the problem with it's always been, as you say, on these short courses, there's not much space to do anything. And one of the big things that we've experienced in the last couple of years is the idea of flipping CELTA, so making the input flipped, creating a lot more space for lesson planning and exploration of what's going to be taught. And then
A
it does free up,
discussion.
discussion. And then later on in the course, that there's more space to actually cover some of these more useful topics, which are going to add, it's more of a teacher education perspective rather than training. Rather than just training them, you're actually giving them reflective skills that they can then go off and use beyond the course.
And presumably pivotal to that is classroom-based inquiry, some simple action research, right?
Yeah, very much.
Okay, super. And in terms of your research, where do you go from this book?
I got so focused on emergent language and it's almost like I forgot. I noticed something observing some teachers recently on a Delta course that's taken me down the route of teacher beliefs and gathering teacher beliefs before I observe them, and then kind of tracking where my feedback might be challenging a belief and making that a central part of feedback. So we talk about why teachers are doing what they're doing and how I view that. The teachers I've been working with have talked about how they're sort of discovering aspects of their character they didn't realize had seeped into their teaching. So yeah, I've suddenly got very into back into actually. I think I was always into, tracking teacher beliefs on courses. So
I'm going to say exactly the same thing, actually. It's interesting you're doing that because I'm doing something similar. We've been working together too long, maybe. So, working at King's at the moment, me and a colleague are looking at the kind of effect that the teaching practicum has on our MA TESOL students. And that's very much in, about identity and beliefs. So, very similar to what Danny's talking about. I think that's where you end up, isn't it, when you get very interested in what's going on beneath the, you know, the iceberg underneath the water. And I think exploring those beliefs, identity, you know, Danny mentioned agency before. All of these things are interesting. And also, you know, Danny mentioned feedback, and I think that becomes fascinating, how we work with feedback and how do we support teacher agency? How do we make that conversation more legitimate? You know, if we challenge, what effect does that have? And I think that's another area that I've been interested in. I just got a really interesting book by Fiona Copland, and I think it's Helen Donoghue. It's just come out a couple of weeks ago. I recommend it if you're interested in feedback. It's really fascinating.
It sounds like you're both committed to writing another book together by the sounds of it.
Oh.
I believe your book is called Working with Emergent Languages by Pavilion ELT.
Pavilion ELT, yeah.
Okay, great. And that's on the shelves already, available.
Yeah, and the Kindle edition will be coming.
Beginning of March,
all right,
yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I wish you well with your recent publication and its success and your ongoing work. Thank you so much, Richard and Danny.
Thanks so much, Christian.
Thanks, Christian.